But need to be careful to remember those that are suffering, those that are unsaved, or those that are, you know, I hate to say it like this, but they're living a rebellious, resist life. And nobody can help them. You know, my mama used to always say, you can't help someone unless they want help. But when someone wants help, I'm glad God is a very present help. Time of trouble, Psalms 46, verse 1. And I'm glad he's no respecter of person, because I wouldn't have never got no help if he was, because I never did ever deserve what I got. But he's willing to help anyone that will call upon him, that will come to him. He never turned no one down. Matter of fact, the Bible said all that come to him, he received. And he healed them, he helped them. But we're thankful, Lord, that good report come back. That's good. That's good fruit. That's what, even as a little church, we can do that. And I'm glad to hear that. We're still praying for her, Phyllis. And God's still bigger than any problem she's got.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, it's going to be a rough message. I preached last Sunday on the good about gay. And to my surprise, that's the most popular message right now on the website. In 1 week, it was downloaded right at 100 times in 1 week. Maybe within 2 days, it was already over 50. And still being downloaded as we speak. And I'm sure that it was downloaded for all the wrong reason. I ain't got no problem with that. I mean, I have to admit that God called me to preach. And like Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not. But that message, I had to be the messenger boy. The message come from God. And if they got a problem, they need to take it up with him.
That's right.
I might rock the boat, but it ain't my fault. If the boat rocks, it's something wrong with the boat. I'll just tell you right now, you can't rock my boat. It's well my soul. And I can weather any storm that the devil or anyone else throws at me because of the captain of my ship. Amen.
That's right.
He made the captain of my salvation perfect through suffering. And one of these days, Sister Sharon, I will walk the last mile of the way.
Right.
But today's Veterans Day. And let me say a happy Veterans Day. If I don't know if we have any veterans here this morning or not. But if we do, let me say that congratulations on your service. Dan Crenshaw, which is the veteran that won the, I believe he's a senator now, that's got the patch over one eye that was made fun of on Saturday Night Live. And he made no big deal about that. He said, I make it a point not to offend, and I make it a point not to be easily offended. He appeared on the Saturday Night show, I guess, last night. And he made it possible for the man that made fun of him to say, I'm sorry. And he shook his hand and said, I have no ought against you. You're forgiven. But he said, one thing you can do about a veteran, if you want to honor a veteran, he said, just tell them, never forget. And I thought about Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. And he said, as oft as you do this,
yeah,
my body broke, my blood shed. He said, not only do you show forth the Lord's death till he comes, but he said, do this in remembrance of me. So when you say never forget, that just means you're not going to ever forget the sacrifice that many of these men and women have made so that you can enjoy the things you take for granted in America, which is freedom and a prosperity and things that normal people don't give much thought to. Genesis chapter 13, verse 13. I preached last Sunday on the good about gay. And I said last Sunday, and I'll say even again this morning, that I'm going to be preaching the other half of that, and it may take more than one message to get all of this in. I know you can just digest so much. There is a lot in the Bible about this subject matter. But for sake of time, I will only use one verse. Genesis 13, verse 13. And that verse is a terrible verse. It says, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And we'll go to God in prayer. Father, we thank You that You gave us the Word of God. We're thankful, Lord, that it puts the finger on the problem. We're thankful, Lord, that by the fear of God, men depart from evil. And yet we've come down to a day when there's no fear of God before men's eyes. They took the Bible out of the schools. They took the Ten Commandments out of the schools.
Yeah.
And somehow they think by doing that, they can make the Word of God of none effect. And yet, Lord, it's written in their heart. Yet every day, in some way, they're reminded there's coming a day they're going to give an account to the Creator of all. Lord, the righteous judge. Lord, I ask for Your help today. I never want to think that I could ever do anything without Your help. Paul said he could do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthened him. You told Your disciples that we could do nothing without You. And I need Your help, and I'm asking for it. Ask for Your blessings. Ask, Lord, You'd give me clarity of thought. Help me use great plainness of speech. May this message resonate to us and also to those that may listen to it by way of the internet. Whatever comes from it, Father, we give You all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I got a lot to say before I ever even preach. But did you notice in that verse there, it said the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. There's a reason God worded that like that.
Yeah.
The bad news about gay is it's not an alternative lifestyle. It's sin. And the Bible says sin, when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. James 1 verse 15.
Amen.
The next verse, verse 16, says, do not err, my beloved. Joel Osteen was asked about the subject matter of homosexuality. Piers Morgan asked him. Larry King asked him. Oprah Winfrey asked him. And maybe, possibly, even more asked him. But I did see when Piers Morgan asked Joel Osteen about the subject matter of homosexuality, and I remember the conversation, Piers Morgan just bluntly said, is homosexuality sin? And Joel Osteen turned about six different colors. He turned purple, red, green, and he just kind of sidestepped the question and said, there's a lot of sins mentioned in the Bible, and that's certainly true. But if you'll notice what God said about the sin of homosexuality, He said it's an exceeding sin.
Yes.
He said it's a wicked sin.
That's right.
The problem with that, the Bible said there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. That's one thing that's bad about gay. There's no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. Mentioned twice. Isaiah 48, Isaiah 57, God said there's no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. They don't have the Prince of Peace abiding within them. They have storms every day to somehow weather and somehow hunker down and somehow try to make it through. And I'm sailing on smooth seas because I have the Prince of Peace. I have the peace of God abiding within me. I just want to say about this wicked exceeding sin, don't resist, don't rebel the loving, merciful, gracious hand of God.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm telling you, there's a terrible price. We're only touching upon this problem. One reason Joel Osteen struggled to answer that question, Brother Mitchell, Joel Osteen's net worth is $40 million.
Right.
I'm sure in the back of his mind he thought, gotta be careful here.
Yeah. Right.
Joanne, he lives in a 10 plus million dollar home. He has a $2.8 million vacation home. Him and his wife have contemplated getting a divorce, but the money keeps them together.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Right.
See, the love of money.
Right.
Amen.
It's the root of all evil, Brother Ed.
Right. Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. A lot of people have caused themselves a lot of hurt because of money.
Right.
Right off the bat, I'm thinking about Achan and Joshua. Saw a wedge of gold, saw some pieces of silver in a Babylonian's garment.
Mm-hmm.
He lost his life, his little aching children and his wife all were stoned to death. They made a big heap of stones, covered them up. They were cursed.
That's right.
I think about Ananias and Sapphira. Sold a piece of ground, kept back part of the money. They wanted the blessing.
Yeah.
But they didn't want to pay the price, to be honest about the blessings they bought.
Man.
We'll just keep back part of it. And that way we can see that we're given to the cause of God, but we're going to do it through solidity. I wonder who the father of that idea was.
That's right.
They both died.
Yeah, yes.
Ananias were confronted about what he did, failed David.
Yeah.
His wife coming in not knowing what happened, they asked her, and she said, yeah, for so much money she fell dead. Well, I think about 30 pieces of silver that Judas took to betray the Son of God. And then he went and cast it back in the temple and went out and hung himself. I have a lot to say about money. There ain't nothing wrong with money. Just be careful that it don't become a snare to you. That it don't cause you to embrace something you know is wrong and somehow try to put a cloak on it and act like there's nothing wrong with it.
That's
what I'm trying to say.
Right, right.
Joel Osteen's son committed suicide. Sometimes everything ain't what it seems to be.
Right.
I have no axe to grind with Joel Osteen. I'm just jealous they didn't ask me about it because I'd be glad to give them an answer. Given that opportunity that he was given, and here he sidesteps that question. And it says, just kind of lip-wrist, mealy-mouthy mentioned words. There's a lot of sins mentioned in the Bible. See, that don't really cause much waves.
That's right.
Well, I'll have to admit, there's quite a bit to do about this wicked, exceeding sin of gay. There are an estimated 36.8 million people in the world today with HIV AIDS, and 1.1 million die each year because of it.
That's right. Amen.
Why does that affect me, Brother Eddie? Well, let's put it in this context. A wealthy businessman had an affair on his wife. When he woke up the next morning, as he went in the bathroom, written on the mirror in the bathroom, with a red lipstick were these words, "Welcome to the world of AIDS."
Mm.
You see, at the end, it stings like an adder.
That's
it
right.
biteth like a serpent.
That's right.
You see what I mean? There's a reason to shun.
That's right.
There's a reason to warn. There's a reason to preach against it.
Yeah.
Now, we're not even scratching the surface on this message. That's why I'm even right now wondering whether I'm going to finish it here today or not. Jesus was put on the spot kind of like Joel Osteen. By the way, he didn't waver. But in Mark 14:61, when the Pharisees asked him plainly, "Art thou the Christ?" his answer was verse 62, "I am."
That's right.
They tore their clothes and said, "Blasphemy! What further need have we of witnesses?" They answered the truth. They didn't like it. By the way, there is pleasure in sin for a season. Hebrews 11:25. But remember, it's for a season. Then comes payment time. By the way, sin does demand a payment. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. You know, if old Brother Eddie can rock your boat, it's not my fault something wrong with the boat. Amen? Well, somebody said the polls said it's not that bad. Well, our concern polls, well, Proverbs 11:21. The wicked, though hand joined with hand, God said the wicked shall be punished. So much for polls.
Right.
Gay pride. First thing on the list of six things the Lord hates, seven being abomination to Him, the very first thing mentioned is a proud look.
Yeah, that's right.
They put on their truffles and feathers and leotards and makeup and look like demons to me, and their little tutus, and walk down the streets and say somehow I got to put up with that. I got a news for them. Payday coming.
Yeah, it is.
They're bringing this on themselves.
Yes, they are.
But I'll tell you what. In a moment, they think, nah, he's going to show up. I got a feeling tutus are going to be hit. I got a feeling, boy, their attitude is going to change. I got a feeling they're going to try to find some kind of excuse. The Bible doesn't say to be full of pride. It says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. The way up is down, amen. I'm telling you, they've got it backwards, amen. This message will certainly be labeled hate speech. But the only way they can label it hate speech is if they hate the truth, like King Ahab, that said this about the prophet, I can't remember the prophet's name now, Micah, no, not Micah, well, just look over there, 1 Kings chapter 22, verse number 8, he mentioned about the prophet, starts with an M, but I can't remember the name, he said, I hate him. You know why he hated him? Because he told the truth.
That's right.
No wonder I couldn't say it. Micaiah, the son of Imlah. Here now, he said, I hate him. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse number 8. He said, because he don't say nothing good about me, only evil. Well, there's a reason for that. It wasn't nothing good about Ahab. He was doing wrong. But also they hated Jesus, but without a cause to hate him, John 15, 25. Now that I got all that out of the way, let's get back to the message here. God condemned the lifestyle of Sodom and Gomorrah. He condemned it with an overthrow.
Yes.
And He made them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. That's 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. What's bad about gay? The end. God turned them into ashes, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Made an example out of them. Jude, verse number 7. God asked the gay community one question. That question is found in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 18. God said, if the righteous scarcely be saved,
yeah.
Here's God's question. Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?
Yeah.
He gave the answer. They'll appear at the great white throne judgment, mentioned in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. Not only is there no peace, saith my God, to the wicked, but let me say this bad thing about gay. By living a gay life, you're throwing your life away.
Yeah.
The Bible said, what is your life? It's but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanisheth away.
Right.
God gives someone a life. And you know, they're in denial, Brother Mitchell. The reason they're in denial, someone has convinced them that there is no God, and His name's mentioned in the Bible.
That's
His
right.
name's mentioned in Psalms 14:1, Psalms 53, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Oh, God gives that fool an answer in Luke chapter number 12, I believe it's verse number 20. God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee.
Yeah.
God's got a lot to say about fools. But somehow or another they've been convinced that there is no God. Ain't that amazing? God put a fingerprint on their hand and looking them right in the face. Every atheist, every agnostic has to argue with the fact that not only did God put a fingerprint on their hand, but He even declared that He's the one that put it on there to the end that all men everywhere may know His word. Job 37, verse 7, there's no excuse. They'll be without excuse. They'll stand guilty before God. But listen, the bad thing about gay, you're throwing your life away.
Yeah, that's right.
You're
Amen.
Living a lie. I'd rather die than live a lie.
Amen.
I was coming to church this morning, and I seen on the side of this truck, liberty or death, don't tread on me. Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. You know, one thing we take for granted is liberty.
Yes,
we've never been in bondage. I'll tell you right now, when they tell you what you can do, when you can do it, then you'll understand a little bit about liberty. clear America that's kind of abused. These people think somehow, they're right and I'm wrong, and they got a right to strut their stuff. Sure. But you know what they're doing, fellas? They're wasting the life that
that's
God
right.
gave them.
Amen.
God wants to bless them.
Mm-hmm.
God wants to help them.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, they deprive themselves of that blessing.
Mm-hmm.
They deprive themselves of that help. The Bible said the way of transgressors is hard. And they're going down that hard way, Karen.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. They don't have no peace. They don't have no help neither.
No.
They're going down that road of hard knocks. The bad thing about gay, you're throwing your life away.
Yeah.
It's worse than playing Russian roulette with a fully loaded gun.
Mm-hmm.
That man, I guess he thought that'd be pretty good. Have a little fling. Who would know? God would.
Right.
Plus the chances of him sleeping with a woman and waking up finding wrote on the mirror with red lipstick, "Welcome to the world of AIDS."
Mm-hmm.
Wonder how he handled that.
Mm-hmm.
You reckon he went home and told his wife? Well, you reckon he didn't like most of these gay people trying to keep it a secret? How do you keep something? The Bible said, "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes be not burned?" You see what I mean? You're playing around with fire.
Right. That's right.
You can be in denial all you want. You can resist, rebel, and there's still one conclusion.
That's right.
Solomon said, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments,
yeah.
For this is
right.
The whole duty of man. Why? I'm reading out Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Verse 14 says, "For God will bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Some people think somehow, as long as nobody finds out about it, it's all right. No, it ain't all right. There's going to be, the Bible talks about there is a judgment. Hebrews 9:27, as it's appointed unto man, wants to die. And after that, the judgment. They're going to be judged one day.
Right.
Brother Mitchell.
That's right.
I'll tell you what, they'll wish they hadn't lived this kind of life.
That's
but I'm
right.
telling you, buddy.
Amen.
Your life, your short life, you're throwing it away.
Amen.
To
right.
live this kind of life.
Yeah. Amen.
We've got the generation now. Have you ever thought about this? I thought about this week. Let me see if I can put it into perspective that it came to me. Well, when Adam and Eve eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and immediately their eyes were open and knew they were naked. But have you ever noticed? I'm just going to be honest. Y'all may feel like me and you may not. If God gave me a chance to live my life one more time,
uh-huh.
I'd listen more.
That's right.
I had this problem thinking I knew better than the ones trying to give me advice. I thought somehow that I was smarter than them. I believe that's a product of that tree that God tried to save humanity from.
Right.
These people, they're intellectual. They're very educated. They think that I'm just a dumb hillbilly. That might be true, but I'm a saved dumb hillbilly.
That's right.
I'll tell you what, one of these days we're going to see who the smart one really is, amen.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm telling you, buddy, I might not be as smart as them. I may not be able to come up with the equations that they do, right? But one thing I do know, I know hell,
amen.
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 Ooh,
that's right.
That's one thing I do more, Brother Ed. I'd listen more.
Yeah.
Ain't it a shame how much wisdom goes to the grave?
That's right.
I remember one day, I didn't know why I even done it, Brother Mitchell. But I went down there to my grandmother's house, May Gomes. She was about 90 years old, white, snow white hair on her head. And I went down there for one reason. And I said, "Mama May, will you share some of your wisdom with me?" She said, "Get you a seat." Best day of my life.
Hey,
the thing she told me, I wish I took a recorder, a pen, and paper.
Yeah.
She's sharing her wisdom with me. Have you ever tried to share your wisdom, Joanne? Ain't it something we can't give them the things we've learned the hard way?
Right.
It seems like we can't help them.
Yeah.
I think that's what God's experienced. He's trying to help them. They won't
That's right.
I'm telling you, Jesus right. said our Sunday school lesson this morning, St. John chapter 5, verse 40, he said, you
yes.
will not come to me that you might have life. They've got a problem.
Right.
They've got a little short life, fellas, and they're wasting it.
That's right.
They're wasting it. That's one thing bad about gay. I wasted a lot of years, Rita. I mean, it grieves me.
Yeah.
It grieves me to my heart.
That's right.
But I wasted Amen. Those years of righteous living. It grieves me. I'm so ashamed of that.
Amen.
But I am so thankful I come to myself one day
yeah.
and realize in reality, buddy, I'm going to die one day.
Yeah,
preach it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, it was a good day when old Brother Eddie laid hold on eternal life. And I'm not wasting my life no more. I'm invested.
Yeah, right.
right. Amen.
I like reading about those rewards.
Right.
I want to hear him say, well done!
Yeah.
I want to hear him say, enter thou into the joys of the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible talks about if we do this thing, we'll receive a reward.
That's right.
Paul said, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown. There's rewards, Sharon.
That's right.
Man, I don't want to miss out on the rewards.
No.
I might have missed out on a lot of things, but I'll tell you one thing. I want to be there when they pass out the crown. I want to be there, praise God, when they say, hey, look at here. You got a mansion.
Right.
We're sorry about their mansion this morning. It was real to me.
Yeah.
I realize he suffered so I wouldn't have to. I realize he died so I could live. I realize he gave his life a ransom so I could go free.
Amen.
Bad thing about gay. I'm going to say this as nice as I can. If you're living a gay life, you're throwing your life away.
Yeah.
If you're living in direct disobedience to your Creator, you've been listening to someone and ain't been telling you the truth.
That's right.
You're adding sin to sin. You're at risk in everything that God wants to give you. For a moment of somehow deluded, a wicked, exceeding simple pleasure.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Bad about gay. You throw your life away. Yeah. Resist all you want, rebel all you want. Job 19:29 says there is a judgment. Hebrews 2 verse 3 says you won't escape. Hebrews 9:27, it says you got an appointment and you will keep it.
Yeah.
But let me tell you this, I'm going to get back to Sodom now. The cry of the wickedness of Sodom came all the way to heaven's throne. It was a cry of wickedness. The pain, the abuse, the suffering, the crying came to the ear of God. And I want you to know God came down. Abraham met him. Abraham pleaded with him. You look here at Genesis chapter 18. It says, heading up to judgment. Genesis 18:25. Abraham says to God, he said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Yeah, he'll do right. If he'll do right, he'll do right.
That's right.
But I want you to know he's not going to sit back while the men of Sodom, wicked sinners above all men, and that sinful, wicked life of Sodom not going to go unpunished. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. God has showed up.
Yes,
that's right.
And Abraham intercedes for Sodom. He got all the way down to 10. He started at 50. God started it. He said, if it be 50, I won't destroy it. I'll spare it. Verse 26.
Yeah.
But it got all the way down to 10. Look at verse 32. Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once, peradventure 10 shall be found. And the gracious God of heaven said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. Now I just want you to know this. Abraham stopped at 10. God didn't. Remember that.
Right.
Right.
I'm sure Abraham doing math in his mind Okay, Lot, his wife, his daughters, his son-in-laws. I'm sure he come up with 10. And he stopped. Now, that's the mind of man.
Yeah, that's right.
Man's mind couldn't fathom just how bad it was down there in Sodom. And how wicked was Sodom? Look at Genesis 19. I'll read 9 verses. I don't know no other way to do this except read these verses. And there came 2 angels to Sodom at eve. And Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." I want you to know you can't hide the sin of Sodom. That's what Lot's trying to do. He's trying to somehow put this thing out of sight.
Yeah.
Come sleep in my hole. Rise up and leave out in the morning, and somehow you'll not know how bad it is in Sodom. Mm-hmm. See, that's what America's trying to do.
That's right.
You see, they're trying to somehow sugarcoat it.
Right.
Let me see where I'm at. Oh, my. They're trying to somehow put their head in the sand and try to act like it's not as bad as it is.
Yeah, exactly.
How bad is it, Brother Eddie?
Amen.
When I was in Columbus, Ohio, with a street preacher, Brother Jimmy Hood, who has a rescue mission on the streets of Columbus, Ohio, I'll tell you what he told me how bad it is. He said, "Brother Eddie, we find 10-year-old boys in warehouses with their pants pulled down and their throats slit from ear to ear. That's how bad it is." Nobody in their right mind does something like that. Little 10-year-old boy.
That's right.
That number's, he said, that's important. They shoot for that number.
Right.
They want that innocence of that 10.
Amen.
He could at least let them live.
Why, yeah.
But you see, this wickedness is so wicked. It's so exceeding wicked. Y'all want this on tape? They find little 10-year-old boys, pants pulled down, been sodomized, fellas. Throat slit, ear to ear. Lot tried to hide it. Let's read a little more. He said, "Come in, sleep at my house, rise up in the morning, and leave out." And they said, "No, we ain't going to do that, Lot." You know why? Because they come to execute judgment. And we'll get to that.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm actually going to be able to get to it in this message, but I'm going to tell you that they refused to do that. He pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast. He did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. It's a plague. You just don't realize how bad this is.
Yeah, that's right.
And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." They're not talking about get to know their name.
Right.
The Bible's pretty gracious here. I'll explain that here in just a minute. But when they said, "We want to know them," Adam knew not his wife until after they'd eaten of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and all of a sudden we got children being born in the world. I'll just tell you right now.
Yeah.
Joseph knew not Mary until after the birth of Jesus. There's just a whole lot more to that word, that we may know them. Lot went out. See, he's going to try to reason with them. You can't reason with this wickedness. Lot went out at the door under them and shut the door behind him. I believe Lot was a reasonable man. But you can't reason with this wickedness.
No.
You got to expel this. You got to get rid of this. You got to exterminate this. In verse 7, he said, I pray you, brother. He's being nice. He said, do not so wickedly. Behold, now this is how insane you can get trying to cover this wickedness up. Behold, now I have two daughters. Here's this word, which have not known man. I'm glad we don't have no children here this morning. Let me, I pray you. That's a pretty bad prayer there, Brother Mitchell.
That's right.
Bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as good in your eyes, only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. He's willing to give his daughters into the hands of these wicked men of Sodom. That's how bad it is. That's how bad a predicament you get in, trying to hide it, trying to ignore it, trying to somehow be in denial that it's not as bad as it seems. I'm using very plainly some speech here because God put it in here just like as bad as it is.
Yeah.
He said, I pray you,
amen,
do not so wickedly. I got two daughters. Take them. And they said, look at verse 9. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. Now this next part of this verse, I hope you understand what this is saying. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. I hope you understand what that means.
Amen.
On his own doorstep.
Right.
That's how bad it is.
Yeah.
I'm glad God intervened. I would to God there wasn't subject matter like this in the Bible. But the Bible says, verse 10, but the men, talking about the angels that come to Lot, put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. Buddy, this ought not be so. This is happening to Lot right at his front door.
Yeah. Right.
I don't really mean to beat no drum here, but there's a bunch showed up is it Carlson Tucker, is that his name?
Yeah.
And threatened to kill his family.
Right.
How bad does it get, Brother Eddie? Well, when it comes to your door, maybe then you'll understand that you need to shun this.
Amen.
That you need to cry out against it, not be for it. Some people said they got no problem with it. I do.
That's right.
I know how it ends up. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I know how it ends up. I know why they're teaching little boys, little girls in their school. Because that's the only way homosexuals can reproduce.
Yeah.
Is in the minds of our youth.
Yeah. Right.
Now my grandfather, bless his memory, done gone. But Joanne, he'd load up a shotgun, he'd headed to Washington. Mm-hmm. Now they know we ain't got no backbone. They know we're spineless. But I'll tell you right now, my grandfather Edgar Grunlis, a cook moonshine over in the hills of Tennessee, right above Del Hollow Lake, he would have loaded that shotgun and he would have went to Washington and he'd said, we're not doing that.
Right.
They'd have had to deal with him. But I'll tell you right now, at least he'd lifted up a finger and done something. They know we're not going to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But by not doing nothing,
amen,
these angels reach forth, they pull a lot into the house. They smote all the men that were at the door of that house with blindness, both small and great, that means young and old, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. God intervened in this problem. I just want you to know.
That's right. Amen.
Oh my. This should not have ever happened, but it did. That's mentioned the same scenario, for those of you that are interested enough, look it up. Judges chapter 19, verse 22 through 27, it will come to the door. It'll come to your door. And just like James said, do not err, my beloved. How many righteous were there in Sodom? You know the Bible gives you the answer to that. Do you know that?
That's right.
They stopped at 10.
Yeah.
You know God gave the answer how many righteous were in Sodom? Do you know that?
Right.
One.
That's it.
One.
That righteous man, singular, right?
Right.
That righteous man dwelled among them, vexed his righteous soul from day to day, from their filthy conversation, neither was he partaker of their evil deeds. One man, his wife didn't make it out, his daughters committed incest, and even he got drunk, but they got him drunk. But anyway, it's a long, sad story. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8 tells you there was one righteous in Sodom. This lifestyle, you're throwing your life away. This lifestyle,
amen.
You can resist all you want. You can deny all you want. You can listen to all the lies you want. It's inevitable. One day you're going to die. You're going to stand, give an account to God. You're going to hear the fearful words. I never knew you. Depart from me, you work of iniquity, to the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. It's got a bad ending. Amen.
Yeah.
And the third thing about the bad about Gay is the very lifestyle of homosexuality is fulfilling the prophecies of the Bible. I mentioned this last week, but it's in Luke 17, 28 through 37. Don't get caught up in this wickedness. They can pass all the laws they want. They can make all the exceptions they want. But it won't make the Word of God of none effect. Matthew 15, verse 6. The Word of God will still judge in the last day. And it'll judge this bunch guilty. They won't have an excuse. I will say this. I wish the churches was more on fire.
Yeah.
I wish there was more
amen.
Bible preaching. More precept upon precept. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. What thus said the Word of God. I wish that they didn't muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. I wish they wouldn't call me and accuse me of hate speech. I don't hate them. I love them. I'm trying to warn them to flee the wrath to come. I'm trying to tell them the merciful love and kind hand of God is stretched out to them. Run to Him, not from Him. Run to Him.
Right.
Confess your sin. He'll forgive you. Amen. He'll receive you. He'll save you. Amen.
Yes,
from this revelation.
Amen.
But I want you to know, even scientists will tell you that the rocks where Sodom and Gomorrah was are melted together like a welder. Take a welding rod and melt two pieces of metal.
Right.
Rocks are melted together there, Brother
right.
Mitchell.
Amen.
God made an example unto those that would hereafter live ungodly. If they want to turn down that example, if they want to deny the message from that raining down fire and brimstone, I probably should read that. I said I wasn't going to get that far, but I really believe I ought to. God had enough of this. And God drug Lot and his family out. And he said, don't look back. Verse 24 says, after he got Lot out and his family, it said, verse 24 of Genesis chapter 19, then the Lord, the loving, merciful, kind, gracious, long-suffering, compassionate God of heaven, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven.
Amen.
And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew up on the ground. Verse 26, such a sad verse. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. I can somewhat sympathize with her. When you look at Lot out here in verse 14, went to his son-in-laws, which had married his daughters. He got two that hadn't known a man. Here's two that's married. As a matter of fact, it doesn't really say to. Let me stand corrected. He spake unto his son-in-laws. I don't know how many there was. Which had married his daughters. I don't know how many. And said, up, get you out of this place. For the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. I can certainly understand why Lot's wife would look back. I'm not a mother. But I'll tell you this, a mother's love is the closest thing to God's love there is on this earth.
That's right.
Unconditional. They say somebody got a face on them, mother can love, and I believe it. My mother loved me, and I looked in the mirror and I said, Mama, you're the only one I know that could. Mm-hmm. But boy, she loved me. Man, she spoiled me. She saw to it I had everything I needed, man, some, Brother Mitchell.
That's right.
But Lot's wife looked back. What'd she look back for? She got daughters back there. I can't condemn her for that. But I will tell you this. The righteous God, the judge of all the earth, he warned her.
That's right.
He wouldn't be God if he didn't do what he did.
That's right.
He turned her into a pillar of salt. I don't believe them two daughters that run off a lot look back. But if they received instruction, they didn't look back. Lot didn't look back. But I can certainly sympathize and understand why a loving mother would look back at the judgment God brought upon Sodom and Gomorrah.
Amen.
Oh, the bad about gay. There's a lot of subjects in the Bible that's bad.
That's right.
And this is one of the worst. Amen. That there is. It's fulfilling the Bible.
Yes.
You know, they don't want nothing to do about the Bible. They don't want to hear about it.
No.
Don't preach to me. I don't care what that book says. I'm going to do what I think's right. If it feels good, do it. I'll tell you what, you go right ahead.
That's right.
You don't have to receive the warning. You don't have to receive instruction. Yeah, you got a little short life. You can't waste it.
That's right. You can.
I'm just glad, praise God, one day this sinner came to himself.
Amen.
And I found mercy like the Apostle Paul that said he was a murderer.
That's right.
Said he was a blasphemer.
Amen.
Said he was injurious to the church of the living God.
Amen.
And he said, how be it I obtained mercy? Because he said, I did it ignorantly. I'm glad God winked at the ignorance of this world and commanded men everywhere to repent.
Amen.
Acts 17, verse 30. I'm glad God is a gracious God, a merciful God. I'm glad he's willing to give us space to repent. But I'll tell you one thing. Sodom ran out of space. And God brought judgment just like he said he was going to do. Now this world, they're just about like Sodom and Gomorrah right now.
It is.
In Sunday school this morning, I mentioned about a sad tragedy. Young girl was caught by MS-13 gang members. And one of the girls of the MS-13 gang members stabbed this young girl 13 times. The last one she put right in her neck. And they found it while she's being stabbed and made fun of her. She's pleading for her life.
Mm.
That's sick.
That is sick.
That's a generation that we've seen come up. Somebody been sowing bad seed.
Right.
You take that Bible out. You take those Ten Commandments out. See what comes up.
That's right.
Well, it's going to get worse and worse.
Yep.
Unto the end, evil men and seducers will continue. I'll just say this. It don't have to be that way. Jesus said,
Amen.
Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart.
Right.
I'm telling you today, you don't have to have a hard heart. You can have a sorrowful, repentant heart and say, God, I'm sorry. That thief on the cross.
Amen.
There was two of them, Brother Mitchell. One of them, he might have been hard-hearted, but he had a change of heart.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, he didn't have long to do it. But what little time he had, he said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And he got an answer. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me.
Yes, right.
In paradise.
Right.
Father, I've done the best I could. I hope and pray, Lord, this message will find good ground. I hope and pray, Lord, there'll be somebody listening to this message. And I pray, God, Lord, it'd be powerful enough, and it'd be to the point they couldn't deny the great truths that have been told here this morning. I pray their hard heart will be melted. I pray, dear Father, they find themselves on their knees, calling out upon one that's rich in mercy and all that call upon Him. I pray, God, Lord, they'd find a refuge for their soul in the precious blood that was poured out at Calvary for lost humanity. Lord, You're so loving, kind, gracious, good. I pray You'll somehow win someone to Yourself through this message. I confess, Lord, I'm just a messenger boy. But I thank You for allowing me the opportunity to speak this message today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so everybody stand. Get Sister Sharon, if she would please, to come to the piano. Sister Rita, if she would please. Just a verse of invitational hymn. I think everybody in here is good to go. But I want to give an opportunity.